This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Karis and Rick from the band
Grasshole.
Hey,
how's it going, Grasshole?
How you doing?
We're not
doing
too bad.
Well.
No, it's pretty late in the morning for us now. Because we're up pretty early. We're up before the sun, so we're doing pretty well. We're here to talk about the latest single release, which is Fragile. But we do want to know, how did you guys actually form the band?
Such an awesome band.
Yeah, thanks, mate. We've been doing this for a few years now. Grasshole sort of evolved out of, you know, playing a lot of awesome covers when I was growing up, and NoFX and Offspring, all the good stuff that you want. You know, your early Green Day, a lot of, like, good early influences from that 90s period. We've just been going for about nearly 4 or 5 years now. Start taking it a bit more seriously, get clean, and try and clean up our act a little bit. We're actually just starting off this morning, so I've sort of woken up about half an hour ago. Rick's off to just go buy us a latte. We'll be sucking.
Oh, beautiful!
I love it.
But it's been a joy, mate. We've just been sort of hitting it hard this year, straight out of the gates. Went to Europe last year. Pretty exciting, and yeah, the Aussie circuit's been pretty hard smashed this year.
And did you all come from different musical backgrounds, or are you all pretty the same?
Me and Rick, we're actually a father-son team, so we've been hitting it together for a long time. We've got, you know, very similar tastes. We sort of show each other new stuff all the time. Rick's more, you know, 70s rock orientated, you know, but I'm a 90s boy. We picked up our bassist, Frederick, in Sweden. And, he comes from something completely different, you know. He loves all the proggy kind of stuff. And, it's a nice blend. We sort of don't really like to pigeonhole ourselves too much.
Yeah, fair enough.
As a rock band, we like to do a little bit of everything from ska right up to the, you know, heavy death metal of Scandinavia.
Norwegian black metal.
Repping.
Yeah, I'm still working on my Yelp.
Oh, yeah. That is hard.
The Viking call.
Oh, I've tried. It's really hurt. So try to imitate. I can't do it.
You've got to wear the horns on the head, I think.
No, you need to wear the paint. You need the white face with the black eyes. You need to do, I'm going to make a reference here, and I hope someone knows at least what I'm talking about. You do, like, the face paint of Garl, and you need, like, your glass of red wine.
Yeah.
Someone, a listener, and I'm hoping you guys also know that reference, but anyway.
Or at least Braveheart.
That's about as far as we push it.
Fair enough.
Now, Rick, is there any particular reason you combine these such unique and such different musical genres like the grunge, which originated in the 80s, and your rock and your punk and your incredible Swedish roots as well? Is there a particular reason why you combine all these musical genres together? Is there a particular blend that you really like there that's quite unique?
Yeah, we like to keep moving. We've all got various forms of ADD, so we find sticking on 8 bars or getting too stuck into the, you know, the stoner rock kind of thing. It feels a little bit too repetitive. We just want to always keep moving every 8 bars or so.
Sure thing.
Also, like, you know, we've always sounds self-indulgent as, but we do like to throw people out. So you see people tapping along, and then the time signature changes on them.
Is it funny to be on stage, you know, and just, like, watch the crowd just kind of get really, like, fumbled there? They think they've got it down pat. They think they're owning it, and then all of a sudden the power's back in your hands, and you're just shaking it up.
Especially in the early days, like, we just would not stick still for too long at all. We're sort of trying to just get a middle road now going, but
brilliant.
It all works as long as it's high energy, right? All those genres you mentioned there, they're all high energy. They make you feel something.
Yeah.
They'll take us back to a really good time when we were all discovering music. So, you know, like, I don't know, you can't go wrong, really.
Just
that kind of volume.
Just a quick question, just a bit slightly off topic, but do you notice between the crowds here in Australia and the States and also over in Europe that the crowds react differently? I recently rewatched a documentary. I've completely, the band, Dave Grohl's band, completely pass Foo Fighters. Yes, Foo that's Fighters. It. So Maren's like miming at me. I watched the Foo Fighters documentary from a few years ago, and they said that they noticed in the early days that the crowds were really different and they reacted to songs differently. So they noticed that in Europe they're really boppy, so they wrote songs that were really boppy to get the crowd moving, and it was a really good opener. So I was just curious, from a band's perspective, have you ever noticed that, or is it really much the same?
Hi, it's Ricky. It just jumped in with a couple of cafe lattes.
So. Ah!
Nicely
We're only
done.
Human.
That's right.
Nice talking. I guess we could answer in a couple of ways, but certainly when we were over in Europe last year and we had the fortune to play a couple of festivals over in Spain, the reaction was quite sensational. I mean, they really understand their rock over there. And, it was pretty tangible. They were really, really, physically getting into it and throwing themselves around a bit. I suppose every night's a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Depending on the venue and size of the room. And, we enjoyed a really good reception both in Spain and Sweden. And
nice.
I suppose it comes back to the DNA of the pundits and, they're pretty loyal to their rock over there. Having said that, we do some regional shows here and it goes off too, so I suppose there's little pockets and communities of really loyal rock fans. And, we were down in Warrnambool the other week and had a great reception down there. They were really, really generous with their support of us, and we had a show with Bat Piss, and they were there to see a great band like Bat Piss, but, we managed to, win a few over too. So it's all about getting out there and putting on a consistently high-energy show, and I think, most people understand that. And
the people that love it in Australia just absolutely love it. Like, that's a...
Yeah.
That's a thing, like, there is, the only thing that I'd say has changed hugely would be that people are stuck behind their phones a lot more, filming a concert rather than watching it and taking it
actually embracing it.
That's worldwide. That's not... Certainly not an Aussie phenomenon.
I've been at concerts and they've asked to put your phones away just so that you can appreciate certain songs, which I really liked. Everyone actually listened and we would just everyone stopped, put their phones away and, got to listen. It was a really nice moment. It was a really nostalgic...
Live for the moment.
Yeah, melancholy song.
I knew we were
song.
In trouble. I knew we were in trouble when people traded the lighters for the phone light. you can't do that.
No.
Is that progress? I'm not sure. it's been really good. We love, hitting Australia. It's been real fun. Been up the East Coast a few times this year. And, every show is really different, especially, when you get a packed show and you're just not expecting it. You feed off the crowd and their enthusiasm. But, it's been a pretty psycho year, I have to say.
So you debuted, obviously, in 2013 with a self-titled EP. That then secured airplay on US college radio stations. Would you say that a lot of your international following was actually formed through that type of airplay, through colleges and that sort of thing overseas?
Through all the frats.
it was a really pleasant surprise for us when we launched the 2013 first EP. It got picked up by 80 plus radio stations, which was phenomenal for us. And, we charted with a few of those. And having backed up in 2015 with our second EP, The Unification Proclamation, that went even further. And we cracked the three number ones and plenty of chart positions.
Yeah.
But it was quite staggering because people in Melbourne were still trying to say, well, who are you and why should we give you a tribute? At the same time, we've been played all over the state.
So shame on them.
Very encouraging, so it's given us a real burst of enthusiasm and belief, and we're on the right path.
Yeah. I'm stoked that we might make it onto the soundtrack of American Pie.
A big frat party.
That'll be alright.
That's the dream.
but guys, would you say that the Melbourne music scene has been open to your music, or did you find it easier to break into the other markets like the US?
Yeah, you want to go? I suppose the term breaking into the US would be a little premature, but, we've created a little bit of a ripple. Mm. I suppose it's all about backing it up. I mean, the Melbourne venue scene obviously is labouring somewhat, and there's always that risk that venues are going to be shutting down, and I suppose There's even more bands than ever, you know, competing for slots on the bills and so on. So it's highly competitive, and there's less number of venues. But that said, you know, once you land a gig, you find all the other bands are really enthusiastic, and you can generally put on a good show. There's plenty of people to support, as long as it's sort of promoted well and people understand where to find you.
Absolutely. And you were talking a little bit before about how Australia, particularly when you guys perform in rural parts of Australia as well, they really embrace the performance. They don't use as much of their iPhone torches as well, which is great, which we like. We're a little bit curious as to what Spain and Sweden was like when you performed there. And what would you say is the coolest place, not temperature-wise, but the coolest place that you have actually performed?
We've done some rippers. Like, you know, it was a pretty mini tour last year. We were just feeling it out a little bit, but I've done a few things in some other bands, and, you know, like, you can get up towards Galicia, which is, like, northwest, kind of right on the quarter, sort of bordering Portugal there.
Ooh, nice.
That's wild. If you like seafood, you know, like, let's face it, we just play gigs outside of eating. and we've still got the appetite. and, yeah, I mean, look, anywhere in Spain is really cool. I think one of the best elements of that is how enthusiastic, obviously, we all know about the economy over there, but they're so keen to just, you know, support, buy merch, you know, like, do things like that, support the artists, and, you know, they'll line up for half an hour just to have a chat and get a signature. Nice. That's pretty humbling when you know, come from the burbs of Melbourne. You're not really expecting it. But, you know, they're really enthusiastic. Sweden, man, that was epic too.
Wow.
We were playing, you know, just on what we thought was going to be just a pretty quiet night. And so many people rocked up and were just like, oh, I've been hearing about you guys for weeks. We watched the film clip about 60 times. Like, wow.
That's
great to see them, you know, like they know every little bit of it. They study your lyrics, you know.
Wow. And they really appreciate the distance you've come. You know, it's not lost on them. I mean, there's guys over there that we spoke to who knew of more, historically more Australian bands than probably anyone I've spoken to here in Melbourne.
Wow.
So, you know, they really do love, you know, what comes out of Australia, and they appreciate the distance we travel to get over there and play. So, yeah, it's a great research.
And any bands out there listening, like, if you can get a foothold there and, you know, sort of use Aussie as a stepping stone so you can get 6 months on, 6 months off, chase summer all the time, you're laughing, right? That is a dream.
Exactly. were you guys used to the weather in Sweden as well? Does it get pretty cold up there?
Oh, yeah. I was there in Sweden when right as the first snow, I stuck around a bit after the tour.
I went out
right after the first snow was falling, and I was outside having a durry. And first snow starts falling on my head, and I actually thought someone was dashing on me.
No.
The apartment above. I cracked it. I got pretty angry for about a minute. Called my mate. I'm going, I'm sure someone just emptied their ashtray on me.
Oh, no.
Just first snow.
But we avoided the 20 below zero stuff, you know. Dig your car out in the morning, all that routine. We didn't hang around for that.
No.
Old mate Frederick was here, our little bassist, he'll tell you that he came from, negative 20, popped off a plane and got windburn on the tarmac when it was 18 degrees here. You know,
it wasn't pretty seeing him coming out of customs, I can tell you.
And we thought Melbourne was cold yesterday.
Oh, I know. We should stop complaining after that.
So precious.
Now, moving to your latest track, obviously it's titled Fragile. What actually inspired it?
That was one of the first songs that we've, usually I've been mucking around just writing these little riffs. So it was one of the first ones that Rick sort of had this idea. Rick the drummer, that is, he had the sort of rhythm idea of it. And, it just sort of came up together. I wrote the chorus, he wrote the rest of it, put the lyrics to it, and it sort of turned out to be one of the first Grasshole proper team efforts, and that's sort of the direction we're heading, you know, a lot more now. Less pressure on, you know, one person just writing everything and, you know, all of us contributing as best as we can. I think it came out really well. We're pretty psyched on it.
Yeah.
Did the film clip up at the Yarra Valley Dam there.
Lovely.
The aqueduct up there. So, yeah, it's a really nice setting up there. I don't know if you kept the clip, but
had to break in it, be all, get our hoon on and do a couple of walks, I tell you what. We all dropped 5 kilos that day.
So what was it like getting to work with Angus Davidson, who, for those who don't know, has worked with bands such as Crowded House, INXS, Tori Amos, Kiss, and a long line of great other bands.
Wow.
Yeah, well, there's probably not much that Angus hasn't done in the music scene. But funnily enough, Angus and I go well back to our youth. We played in our first band together, so who would you believe was the singer and I was the drummer. I won't mention years because people will turn off, but we're going back a bit. Of course, he decided that despite his natural brilliance towards, he's quite an intellectual dude in his own strange way, but he decided to bow out and join the rock and roll scene, sort of teamed up with bands and worked his way through roading into sound engineering and then did a lot of front house work with a lot of big bands. So it was just a reconnection in recent years, and he heard, I just flicked the first EP past him, and he loved it and he wanted to get involved. So we got him mastering the second EP and then we've backed up again with this debut album now, The Fuzz of Play, that's due to come out in the new year, and he's done all the tracking for us and the mixing, and we're now going through the mastering process with Lindsay Gravina, so who's had experience with Jet and
Magic Dirt, Violent Soho, a few other legendary bands.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so sort of we've got a good little entourage on this album coming up. Perfect. And it's sort of everyone's put in something. A small stable.
Gee, that is some pretty decent experience indeed. Now, gentlemen, for all of our lovely listeners out there, whether they be from Melbourne, Sweden potentially, how can they get the information regarding your tour and where to get tickets for the upcoming tour and even some of your socials as well?
Yeah, so look, we're all over Facebook. It's the easiest way, unfortunately, these days to follow bands, but, just jump on that and you'll always see the next gig. We're playing our last gig of this tour. We've been around, been right up to Sydney and back pretty much over the last month. So we're playing our last gig this Friday, Grand Final Eve at Cherry Bar. Now, it's going to be a pretty packed out night. We've got really killer bands on, but there's also going to be about, 50,000 Adelaide supporters getting absolutely thirsty on Friday night. So I'm just getting down early.
So that's it, Cherry Bar? Supporters.
Cherry Bar.
Yep. And then nice one.
Very good.
Head at ACDC Lane.
Yeah, ACDC Lane.
We've got Arrowhead, Khan, and Mojo Pin playing with us. Arrowhead.
Oh, amazing.
And we've also got old mates, June Rats, coming down for their official after party.
Oh, really?
DJ set, so.
Oh, it's going to be a great night.
Yeah, I think it's going to be wild. I'd just recommend getting down a bit earlier so you don't have to line up. Check the other bands.
All the Richmond supporters need to get down there a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
they might be able to calm a few nerves, eh?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the end of that tour anyway.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing. Cherry Bar is a brilliant venue as well. For all of those people who haven't been to the Cherry Bar as yet, ACDC Lane as well,
iconic.
Pretty self-explanatory how good it's going to be.
Cherry Bar in itself is iconic.
It's open till 5. What could go wrong?
Exactly.
It's got to be good.
Great place. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been great chatting to you.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.